Micah, you can also encourage to bring a Bible, and because I said you can take a Bible, that means it is not stealing, so you have not broken any commandments. But also, electronic Bibles are fine too. A lot of people use them. Micah chapter 7. So, does anyone here look at the world and feel like everything is... You turn on the news, and what do you see? There's crime that's happening, right? Yes, now gas prices are going down. Amen, praise God. Especially because I drive a truck, and the vicar is very happy also because he drives a truck also. But then you see how people treat each other. Have you noticed that it's gotten, I don't know, in my opinion, it's gotten worse. It just seems like there's this free-for-all of people just simply being mean. And you watch that and you think, gosh, we're not getting, you always hope that as a society, we're becoming more cultured, we're becoming wiser, we're becoming better. And so how hard it is to have any confidence in this world. And especially then when you start saying, do you think the world is becoming more or less Christian as time goes on? Less. I think every now and then there's times that we kind of have these upward swings and we're like, oh, there's like a resurgence, and that's always great. But it seems that, you know, as I'm looking around, how, and again, maybe it's also just what is being reported in the news is all the bad stuff and I don't get to see all the good stuff. So I'm thankful for weeks like VBS because I can get to see, I get to see good stuff happening all week. Sometimes I think we as Christians feel that we are the last Christians on earth. Have you ever asked that of yourself? Like, God, I look around and it seems like in the city of Fullerton, Searchlight is the last holdout of Christianity. Okay, maybe you don't go that far. But sometimes we get trapped in the idea that there is really no other help out there. And when our focus becomes the dirtiness of the world, it will change how we act. This is what's happening in Micah's day. The world was going bad. And one of the challenges that they especially had was that it was the Christian church that was actually falling apart. It was the Christian church that was starting to worship other gods, not just in, you know, a theoretical, metaphorical way, but in a very real way. There were secret chambers in the temple where the priests would go and worship weird and crazy gods just to make sure they didn't offend any god that was out there. They had lost their way so much that the people who were listening were also not following along. What they were doing was just following whatever the priest said. So the priest said, hey, we should do this, 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 and this. And the people were like, it's the priest, it's the pastor. I guess that's kind of what we do. And the people and the clergy were all headed downhill fast. And Micah, as we said, is foreseeing the falls that are about to take place. He's foreseeing the fall of 722 BC when the northern kingdom fell, foreseeing the time when 701, the southern kingdom, the city of Jerusalem, is surrounded by armies. And he keeps talking about a day when they are all going to be carried off into exile. Now, as a person seeing that, that would become a little depressing. And this whole first section of Micah 7 is this lament that everything is going wrong. Now, you may not think that things are going wrong in our society or in the church, but I think for some of us here, would you say that sometimes you look at your life and you go, man, this is just not working out really well. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe recession is hitting you, and though the pain at the pump is getting a little bit better, price of everything else is going up. Maybe you're getting close to retirement, and all of a sudden, because of what the stock market does, and there's a change, and now you're like, wait a second, this is horrible. What if your upstairs neighbor left their water running and so it destroyed your ceiling? Bad stuff happens, doesn't it? And we wonder, is anything good ever going to happen? My life is falling apart. Micah chapter 7 is going to be a wonderful reminder of the depth of God's love. You may be feeling like you are down in the dumps, you are in the darkness, you are in the depths of despair, and God says, we need to refocus you. If you have not had the right focus for a while, Micah 7 will hopefully change things. If that's what I wrote in my thing, if you are feeling you are in a hopeless situation, Micah 7 is it. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Can you feel the despair? God, I'm looking around and there is no one that is doing good. I maybe look at my family who was supposed to be there to support me. They're no longer supporting me. God, I'm looking at my financial situation and everything is going wrong. God, I'm looking at society and I'm really getting depressed at how things are happening. This is what Micah is saying. Again, it harkens back to other times when people would get depressed. When prophets would be down in the dumps and they would be crying out, God, is there any righteous people left in the land? And it's interesting that God said to them what he also says here, which is, you're looking in the wrong places. Your focus is on the wrong thing. If you want to inspect people's lives, I promise you, you will find bad. I guarantee that if you look into society and you see the evil that are in people's hearts, you will go down. And he's saying, you're not looking correctly. This is how he says it. Verse 3, both hands are skilled in doing evil. The politicians demands gifts. The judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. Does anyone have any confidence in leadership in the world? Sometimes you might feel maybe I'm good with maybe some local politics, maybe some national politics. How are things being run in the world? Do we think that there are abuses that are happening all over the world with human trafficking? Do we believe that there are human rights violations that are happening all over the world? And you think, how can we stop this? It's a good question. And if your focus stays on that the whole time, you will quickly become depressed because this world is evil. And then he goes on to say, the best of them is like a briar, the most upright, worse than a thorn hedge. This guy is probably having some problems with especially church leadership. Have you ever had a pastor that was just so evil? Okay, good, thank you. Unless it's someone else, not me. Okay, that's fine. But I think we've all experienced that. Have you ever looked at pastors and go, how did that dude become a pastor? He's bad. I always wonder if my friends from middle school and junior high and high school, you know, they see me and they're like, Mark became a pastor? That's funny. You should have seen him back in the day. Sometimes that's what happens. Even those who are the most righteous, we see people that we maybe admire and then they have a fall. Sports figures make mistakes. Pastors have indiscretions. Churches collapse at the drop of a hat. This is Micah getting more and more depressed. And he's middle of verse 4. The day of your watchman has come. the day God visits you, now is the time of their confusion. And he's, this is how bad society, I mean, can you say these words? Do not trust a neighbor. Irene. Oh, I'm just kidding. She's my next door neighbor, so I can say that. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words, i.e. don't trust your wife. It's getting bad. For a son dishonors his father. Joshua? Huh? A daughter rises up against her mother, because girls are evil. This is scripture. This is all I'm saying. Men are evil too. So yes, so. Men, women are evil. Both are evil. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law? That's shocking. A man's enemies are the members of his own household. You can't even trust your family. Have you ever trusted in your family and then your family let you down? Yeah, that happens too. It's bad. Go ahead and keep looking. Keep looking throughout society and you will see how bad things are. Keep your eyes focused on evil and I promise you, you will see evil. Keep your eyes focused on the world and you will become depressed. What is the antidote? How do we stop this? Maybe we should look for the good in other people. Maybe we should look for the good in government. Maybe we should look for the good in churches and see how righteous and how some are trying to do their best. Let's look for the good in others. Is that what's going to help? Not according to Micah. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. And this is as the chapter goes on, you're going to watch as the focus switches from one thing to another. You're going to see it going from that which is evil and bad to what we should be focused on, which is God and what He does. Because when we are not looking in the right place, we will always see the evil. And then there's this pain that Micah is going through because he's upset that the people of God are going to go through some suffering and it's going to be at the hands of the evil people. Right? I could sense this. You could imagine what it'd be like if America was invaded and we found out that it was a punishment from God and it was from our enemies. And we would be like, this is painful, God. Why would you let our enemies like win the day? Why would you do that? And God is always saying, you're looking at all the wrong stuff. You don't need to worry about your enemies. I will. You don't need to worry about seeking revenge. I've got that. You don't need to be worried about how evil is out there and how somehow we have to correct it. There's times and places that we can, but then there's times and places that we can't. And do we trust that God is ultimately in control? And when we stop and say, okay, God, things are not looking good, and I don't really like it, He's saying, hold on and watch. And so this is why this prayer or this cry comes out, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against Him, I will bear the Lord's wrath until He pleads my case and establishes my right. Do you notice what we're starting to focus on now? Because usually we start off by focusing on everyone else. The world is evil. There's people that have wronged you. There's people that have slandered you. There are people that have hurt you. There are people that have spoken evil against you. Maybe it's members of your own family. Maybe it's a son or a daughter or a son-in-law or daughter-in-law. Maybe it's a parent. And maybe you're just struggling with all of that. And you, this is what you see. And now, instead of looking at everyone else, you know the best thing to do? Look at yourself. Now, you might be worried, because I know I am. Whenever I start looking at myself, I start getting depressed also. Because I don't often look at myself and see all the good. Right? When you sit and ponder about you and your life, do you think about all the good stuff you've done? Or do you at times fixate on all the stuff that you've done wrong? The bad stuff, the mistakes of the past, the wrongs that you have done to others. But this is the order. We look at the world, we don't like it. We've got to wait for God. Let's look at ourselves, and then all of a sudden we realize that the world doesn't look too evil, does it? Because the world is just filled with people like me that are not doing it right. And what do you want for yourself? What do you want for your evil? What do you want God to do when you do the wrong things? Theological terms, we call that fancy word sin. What do we want God to do with our sin? We want Him to show, we want grace, right? We want mercy, we want forgiveness, we want all of that stuff. Now all of a sudden, do you see what God's doing? God is good at this kind of stuff. Well, He created us, so He should know. We're focused on the evil of the world. We're crying out. We're in despair. We start looking at ourselves. Oh my gosh, we're part of the problem. We're part of the evil. God, we need some grace and mercy. And all of a sudden, you start thinking, where is this headed to? Do you see where God's leading you? It's fascinating. End of nine. Thank you. He will bring me out into the light. I will see His righteousness. Then my enemy will see it, and he will be covered in shame. She who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her downfall. Even now she will be trampled underfoot like mire in the streets. The day for rebuilding your walls will come, the day for extending your boundaries. In that day, people will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, even from Egypt to the Euphrates and from sea to sea and from mountain to mountain. The earth will become desolate because of its inhabitant as a result of their deeds. The evil that we see out there, the evil that we see in our family members, the evil that we see in the road rage incidents on the streets, we don't seek the revenge. God will handle that. You might not like the way He handles it, because He might have grace and mercy just as much as He did for you. But remember your evil, your sin, that God has so graciously forgiven. How should that change our attitude to this world? Well, shoot. Earlier, I was getting excited. I love screaming at the TV because I'm pretty sure they can hear me. Right, I watch the news things and I see someone getting robbed and I get like righteously angry and I want to like hurt someone. And maybe there's times that I take something into my own hands and God says, wait. Let's look at you. What happened to your evil? What had to be done with that? Change your focus. And it's going to be the ending of Micah is this beautiful words of love and grace that you will probably ever hear in much of Scripture. And then verse 14. What should we do? Prayer and praise. Are you upset still at what's happening in Ukraine? Do you feel helpless? Do you feel hopeless? What should you do? Well, scream and yell and, you know, make a banner or something, right? How about this? How about pray? What if your relationship is not really going well with your spouse, and maybe it's time to start screaming and yelling at them and making sure that they know how mad you are? How about this? What if we pray? What if you just got fired from your job and now you're not sure how you're going to pay for things and you are so angry at your boss? Have you prayed? If you're looking at the world and seeing its evil and then not praying, you will get sucked into just simply being a hateful, spiteful human being. But God doesn't want that. He doesn't want your heart sullied in that manner. He wants you to have a new heart that beats for Him. So this is what Micah then says. Lord, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance which lives by itself in a forest, in fertile pasture lands. Let them feed. Lord, I'm going through challenges. I'm facing painful situations. I'm not sure if I'm going to just simply lose all hope. God, can you please bring back to me hope for the future? If you are struggling with hope for the future, this is exactly what Micah's praying for, so this should be your prayer as well. God, restore to me the hope of humanity. I'm going to be honest, I don't think I've prayed for that much lately. Right? Has anyone here, I really want you to be honest, because you would just amaze me. And I love it when that happens. But I think that most of the times when we see bad stuff happening, we just get angry. But instead, maybe we should be praying for the restoration of humanity. Do you pray for the evil people? Be careful, because if you don't pray for evil people, you have no chance going to God the way you are. Instead, God, restore my hope in humanity. Restore us back to when there was love and grace. Maybe we need a renaissance in the media where we focus not on that which is evil, but maybe that which is good. Maybe we need to be trusting and reaching out to our neighbor and being restored. God, restore your people. Bring us back into good lands. As in the days, verse 15, when you came out of Egypt, I will show him my wonders. Nations will see and be ashamed, deprived of all their power. They will lay their hands on their mouths and their ears will become deaf. They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. They will come trembling out of their dens. They will return in fear to the Lord our God and will be afraid of you. Now that's tough because again, when you pray for your enemies, what does it normally sound like? Wipe them out. Strike them all with hemorrhoids. That's just a fantastic way to make them itch and burn. Give them blindness. Just you know what? Have them drop dead of a heart attack. Have hailstones come from the sky and destroy all evil businesses in this world. Instead, what is he praying? Lord, I want you to restore your people in such a way that when evil people see godly people, they can't say anything. Their whole demeanor changes. And instead of them being wiped out, Lord, may they come back to you. What? Is this changing how now you look at the future? Instead of seeing all the hopelessness and the despair, now there's hope. Why is that? Because we serve God. And then we come to the pivotal verse that talks about Micah and his name. I think I mentioned it the first time. I haven't mentioned it too much as we've gone along, but Micah's name means who is like God. And that's what he says in verse 18. Who is a God like you that wipes out evil people and destroys the enemy? Oh, wait, shoot. Hold on. Who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. We start off by looking at the evil of the world. We all of a sudden see that we've got evil in our own heart and that we need help. And then all of a sudden we realize God is a God of compassion and grace who has forgiven our sins, who when he came down to this earth did not come into this world to condemn the world, but instead he came to save it. He came to save you. He came to save me. He came to save evil people. He came to save your enemy. He came to save not just nationalities, but individuals. And all of a sudden, we start realizing if God can save a rotten human being like myself through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then his grace can also be extended to the enemy. Maybe this is a time that we look at someone who has really wronged you. I think we all have those people that have wounded you in ways that are painful to think about. And maybe you've been holding on, waiting for God to hopefully strike down their life, make them lose their job, make them, you know, lose their car, make them lose their hair. And now, maybe instead, we should pray for our enemy and love them. That's what's being called upon here. Because who is like God? Who is like God who could forgive your sin? Who is like God who could forgive other people's sin? God is unlike any other. And when he can get a hold of our hearts, things change. I do not believe that there's going to be some sort of unveiling of God to the masses where all of a sudden there's going to be these mass conversions and people are just going to naturally do it. It seems to be that God likes to use his own people in order to make the changes in the world. He actually calls on us to have the changes in our hearts, that it's not us trying to seek revenge or trying to push things or hurt others, but instead we come with love and grace and compassion because that's how God came to us. Who is God? Who is like God? This is not our natural thing. Is your natural thing to forgive people when they hurt you? No, my natural thing is to hurt back. Instead, he pardons sin, forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have, listen to this, because when you start looking at the evil of the world and then you start looking at the evil in your heart and you're wondering, can God even forgive a horrible person like me? Listen to how he describes this. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Now, there's a lot of great metaphors in the Bible about the forgiveness of sins. Talks about how far the east is from the west. Talks about how God will take our sins and hide them behind his back. Talks about how we are sin-filled and stained, and God will make us whiter than snow. But I don't know about you. How would you like your sins hurled to the depths of the ocean? The deepest part of the ocean where nothing resides, that's where your sins are at. Maybe you need that for yourself today. Maybe one of the reasons why we have such hatred and anger towards the world is really it's hatred and anger for ourselves, because we know that no matter how hard we try, we cannot do it right. The evil is still there. And we think to ourselves that if we can just focus on how bad everyone else is, we don't have to focus on what's going on in our own heart. And if you have not taken a look lately in your own heart, you're not going to be pleased with it. And then you get depressed. And then you start self-loathing. And then because you are hurt and wounded, you just hurt and wound other people. Instead, do you realize what God has done for you? He has taken every single one of your sins, the ones you did yesterday, the day before. He took the ones you're going to do today. He's going to take the ones you're going to do next week and next month and next year. You take every single one of them, and they've already been hurled into the depths of the sea, and it has been forgiven. That's grace to you and me, and that same grace is offered to the world. And I love then, how do you end this book? You will be true to Jacob. You'll be true to the covenant people of God, and you will show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago. This is God's reputation at stake. He says, I have forgiven you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have forgiven and will continue to forgive you throughout your life. Now all of a sudden, how hopeless are you? It kind of changes it, doesn't it? It was interesting going through this over and over again. I kept, you know, this is where the focus is, and all of a sudden God changes it to something totally different. If you are feeling hopeless and helpless, if you hate the world, if you hate yourself, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Your sins have been hurled into the depths of the sea. And as one cheesy theologian put it, ended up putting a no fishing sign there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the mercy that you have poured out onto us, the mercy that is incredible and unlike any other. And we are in need of that grace and that mercy for ourselves and for a world that is not very loving and caring and doesn't show the same amount. Lord, who is like you? It blows my mind to think that you are someone who is so gracious. You are not punitive. You don't harbor hatred. Your compassion is new every morning, and we get to experience it in so many ways. So, Lord, may our eyes change. May we fix our gaze on Jesus, and may we see all that he has done in our lives individually. And so what could he do with this entire world? We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. To assist us for communion today, we're going to be doing pass-around communion. So for those of you that have never experienced it, if you haven't done that yet, I'm going to have 8 people, if you can help, distribute the elements. There's bread, there's wine, there's grape juice in the center part if you don't wish to take the alcohol. So if 2 can start, or 4 can start up here and 4 can start in the back, get the balcony. They're really bad sinners up there too. We just need people to help distribute it. When you are given the bread or the wine and or grape juice, hold on to it. Don't eat it or drink it. And then at the end, with the words of institution, we will then join together in eating and drinking of it together. So what should we be doing at this time? We should be focused.